Around the NFL Podcast. Thinks Thor is the cutest puppy in the world.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, presented by DiGiorno. My name is Dan Hantis, and I am joined on a radio row that's just filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
What a scene. We are surrounded by some of the biggest names of sports. Big Poppy just walked by. Good to see him recovered.
Yeah, one of your favorite.
One of your favorite players, Dan.
We're about 20 yards away from Colleen Wolfe, whose career is taken off into the deep skies while we continue just to do what we do.
Hey, listen, it could be worse.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying we are attached as a foursome from now until the end of time. So.
Well, there's been better developments than that. But listen, here we are. Who can complain? I mean, what a life. We're so lucky to be. We work for the NFL. They send us to the Super Bowl in Miami, staying at a nice hotel. We got a yacht pod. The yacht pod.
Mm.
Is that what the hashtag is?
Yacht cast.
I got there. and if you were tracking, of course. First of all, check out Tuesday's show if you haven't yet. But if you have, I'm sure if you track us on social media, you're aware of a couple big developments after we finish recording Tuesday's show. We're on the boat. We're getting a chance to enjoy the sun and the surf and the breeze and the wonderful Miami vibes. And all of a sudden, we get lit up. We get lit up by the blue and the white lights of the Miami police, who board our vessel. And an extremely handsome man, a man that Erica actually saw as a younger brother of Jimmy Garoppolo, but what he really was a FBI agent, boarded the vessel. And we were at that point, Greg, pretty, I would say, alarmed.
Well, we didn't know what was going on. It was not our boat, of course, so we weren't ultimately too concerned. We were all, like, splayed out, just kind of enjoying our post-pod cruise.
Like a bunch of manatees.
Cruise back to the bay. But more confused would be what is happening here. And then it turned out to be kind of, much ado about nothing.
Nothing.
But this was 15 minutes after we had learned while doing the show in real time that there was a tsunami warning bubbling up on the waters we were actually on.
That's a great call because that was, now that you mentioned it, that's the first thing that came to mind. What were Miami police jumping onto this boat to tell Captain Spiros, we got to get this thing back to dock, a tsunami's coming. I thought that's what we were dealing with. Were you alarmed in the same way, Wes?
I was alarmed that nobody had answers. Everybody just had questions. And our way of finding answers was just Ricky's checking Twitter.
Right. And there was a lot going on. There's been a heavy police presence at all the Super Bowls lately. That's certainly true in Miami. At one point, on our yacht cast, we saw the Coast Guard go by with some pretty heavy-duty semi-automatic weapons.
Like serious armory of guns.
Very serious.
It's like what your uncle's Vietnam flashback would be. It's the way I imagine.
The only concern was, like, what did Mark do? You know, that was, like, the only
potential chance.
To be fair, Greg, this is minutes also after you received a call that someone named Greg Rosenthal had ordered a car to go to
a pool
party.
Let's get into this now.
Let's unpack that for a minute.
While the FBI is on board and going through, and it was all connected to a drone that was launched that is a big no-no, especially this time of year.
And the drone didn't even go off. They had just turned it on, and the GPS had been sent out, and I guess that was a no-no, and that was it.
So we're still splayed out.
Everyone was fine.
As Greg put it, when the phone rings on Greg, Greg Sell, he answers it, and it's a very animated, amped-up shadowy league figure.
Yeah, one of the key shadowy league figures in our history, barking at me, frankly, in a very suspicious, I'm going to say disrespectful way, and just said, like, it's like, Greg, it's like, did you order a driver to go to a pool party in Miami?
Yes.
And I was like, no. What are you talking about? We're out here. And I thought maybe he meant because we did get a transportation to
the boat,
right. Which was approved when we had a bosses on the trip with us. I said, no. What are you talking about? And then there was a couple more follow up questions where clearly this person doesn't quite believe me yet. Which
still accusatory in nature.
Yeah,
of the
very very like harsh edged, and just saying, well, someone using your name. used transportation to go to a pool party, and it's ruined transportation for the NFL media for the entire day. I was like, what does that even mean? It's ruined transportation?
Two quick takeaways. One, you had a rock-solid alibi as you were being raided by the FBI. But secondly, this shadowy league figure, when he is driving around listening to the show, as he will have you killed.
I'm hoping he doesn't listen. And in the end, look, he did say, well, you know, he did say, oh, I didn't think that sounded like you. That's what I said. So he had clearly gotten this word, I assume, from higher ups. And he later texted me saying maybe it's a compliment. It's like I've reached another level of celebrity where people are using my name for imposter trips.
That's one way to look at it. I think, and of course, when something like this happens, the ATN Media Insider.
ATN Media Insider. Hands. For the truth, go to the Zeus.
Get him.
Zeus are in the morning.
I need to start picking up the phone.
You have a lot of work to do.
Making phone calls. Right. Getting on, text, DMs. And I actually was able to reach out to that same shadowy league figure. I was trying to get him to come on the show, no dice. But what I really wanted
I think my impression,
know,
you know, that was like him having him here.
Yeah. What I really wanted to know was, internally, during this investigation, has Greg been cleared? And as of this recording of the show, I have not heard back.
Oh, my
God. So we're going to call it a no comment.
Sure, the investigation rages on.
I tried to find more about it, and suddenly
somebody's got an amazing sense of humor.
And I want to know, I want to know what happened.
Because he told me, this SLF, that the person specifically called, said, I'm Greg Rosenthal, take me to this pool party. Got dropped off.
Checks out.
And then all of a sudden, that's
so it worked.
They
completed... Wow.
But this is why I think it's an inside job and it's someone that we know, because I think there's something, if you know Greg, really any of us, it would have been funny, but if you know Greg, there's something funny about Greg Rosenthal demanding a driver take him to a Super Bowl pool party. So
yeah,
somebody that knows you, that when this would get back potentially, it would be
all right,
something bonkers.
Now that you say that, all right, I've got a couple.
Let's hear
just
it.
Throw some names out.
Yeah,
let's hear it.
All right, Ian Rappaport's up there.
Rapsy?
You mentioned it. I think that makes some sense.
He had some reason to be annoyed at me just 24 hours previous. I'll just leave it at that. He was annoyed at me. He made that clear.
Greg's on a constant rotation of people being annoyed at him, and it was Ian's turn.
And he would do something. I feel like he would do
it. Oh, he would definitely do it.
He would double-cross you in a big spot.
Shrake bomb, maybe? I know. He would maybe find the humor in it, but I don't see why he would do it. Garofalo's a pretty funny guy.
We know it's a man, at least.
Move the sticks.
Oh, my God.
Like
it's a wholesome prank that he would pull.
It's Daniel Jeremiah. But he's not even here.
But that's what would make it even more dastardly.
Andrew Hawkins would not do such a thing.
Anyway, right. So we're going to try to get to the bottom of this. This is a developing story that we'll be tracking, obviously, throughout the offseason. And as an insider, this is one of those stories where you do not rest until you get to the bottom of it.
I think you have your offseason narrative and investigation to dive into.
I'm a little concerned pretty much minutes afterwards, even though I was with these guys the whole time. Dan was the first one to say, well, have we crossed Greg totally off the list? Are we sure that he didn't do it?
Well, my final question was, how was the pool party?
Right.
All right. This is our Super Bowl 54 preview show proper. Okay, this is the one where we're really going to dig into the action. And also we have the great Chris Mad Dog Russo of formerly of WFAN in New York. Mark and I grew up listening to Mike and the Mad Dog. He is going to join us. We're really looking forward to that, Mark. Do you think you could keep it together during the Russo conversation?
No.
Okay. I like your honesty.
I just don't.
I applaud your honesty. We will do one my lunch prop wager connected to Super Bowl 54. And then we will make our game picks. It's time to make the picks. Wes, are you ready? I know you love game picks.
I'm ready. I even have a score written down, which I never do.
Dude.
I usually come up with the score on the spot, but I have one written down.
You said
that's
earlier
a sign of
this
professionalism.
Week, you're sick of the game picks. People love the game picks.
Okay.
People love them. All right, let's get into it. Without further ado, forget about hashtag YachtCast, hashtag pool boy. Let us get to the game, because that's why we're here. The Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers, two teams that were deeply impressive during their January playoff runs. Perhaps one team was more impressive, and Greg, the Niners, they just essentially whipped both their opponents. It was an easy path for them, and they were a team that were kind of battle tested throughout December, and a lot of people said maybe that's going to help them come January. Maybe it did. Who knows? But the Niners look great. The Chiefs have the best player in Patrick Mahomes, and their offense was close to unstoppable. This is going to be a fun one.
I love it because, to me, it's a game where I'm happy either team wins because they're both worthy champions. They both have great stories behind them. I'll feel for either team. But, like, some years, like, yeah, that team shouldn't have won. Like, both of these teams deserve it.
You're thinking of the Giants twice.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can't, like, wrap your arms around them, maybe. And to me, I love both of these teams. They're super entertaining styles of play. And you mentioned the 49ers run. I almost think we take it for granted how, like, bat stuff insane.
Yes, that's
gonna
stuff have to insane.
Be. This is going to be after, like, when we look back on what they did the last 2 weeks. The first game, they allowed 7 first downs. They made Kirk Cousins and the Vikings the worst offense in the NFL. It was as dominating a defensive performance as anything we've seen all year. The next game, they ran it like it was, you know, 1930s Navy, the most dominating. They were up 27-0 at halftime of an NFC championship. That is absolutely outrageous. So when you put those two things together and just the talent that they have on that side of the ball, I'm not saying people are sleeping on the 49ers, but it has been an incredibly impressive 18-game run with an as impressive a 2-game playoff run as we've seen.
I'm with you. I feel that they are underappreciated, and I think they just haven't been in our midst for very long.
Are you saying they're disrespected and nobody
respects
us? No, because
I destroyed that narrative
on
the boat.
You sank that one, I thought.
So it's not disrespected, just a little bit under the radar for how consistent they have been in every single contest this year. And the thing that comes to my mind about this game, and I'm with you, Greg, that whoever wins, I could feel thrilled for either team. That's not usually how I feel about Super Bowl matches.
Not as much as Jameis and Lamar Jackson.
Same here. I almost always know.
No, those are the guys that would really get
I'm
me going.
You.
But the thing that comes to mind for me is the sort of a coronation of Kyle Shanahan. That I just feel that he also, in my mind, is like a top 2 or 3 coach in the league and the future of football. And Andy Reid, you could say all the same things about, but I just think that Kyle Shanahan, you know, steps out of any sort of shadow that he lived in under his father and family lineage to become completely his own man by Sunday night.
Isn't this kind of, this was the Sean McVay storyline a year ago, 2 years ago, and now that's how people are talking about Kyle Shanahan. I mean, he's one game away from having, it feels like one of the best, you know, doing one of the best coaching jobs we can remember.
Yeah, I feel like for the past half decade or so, people have gone back and forth between Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Josh McDaniels, and who's the best, like, under 40-year-old play caller in the NFL? Who's the real scheme master? And Kyle was probably overlooked. What he did with that 2000, was it the 17 the Falcons team that made the Super Bowl?
16.
What he did in Houston, what he did in Washington with RG3, I mean, this guy, his career has been amazing. And I look back to the beginning of the year when Mark and I got really revved up about the 49ers pushing the Bengals around, and it feels weird to say we were impressed by a team beating the Bengals. But most of the impressive games I've seen where a team played at the highest level this year have been the San Francisco 49ers, just decimating teams.
They also had that Redskins game, which is one of the quickest we've seen in, you know, 14, 15 years. I appreciate that.
Assessor special. And to your point, Greg, when you're trying to pick this game, and like we said, we'll be picking at the end of the show, I really do want to go with Mahomes, but should it be shocking if the Niners just finish this thing off and we're looking at a potential game that gets away from the Chiefs because the Niners are just humming on both sides of the ball? This is one thing no one's picking is a one-sided game, but is that possible? Are the Niners that good? Are they under the radar enough where they could blow out a great Chiefs team and be seen as one of the best teams in the last 10 years?
Because it's the Super Bowl, and sometimes I think weird things happen. It's just a different game. It's like a final or a championship of almost any sport. I feel like that's possible, but it's so hard to imagine, like, keeping Mahomes under wraps for that long. Even this defense, which is great, it's still 2020. Like, they gave up 3 straight touchdowns to the Seahawks. They gave up some points in the second half to the Packers. Like, it's hard to imagine Mahomes not finding some mismatches. Like, that's one thing I'm curious about with Mahomes and Reed. They zero in on what your weakness is at some point. And whether that's...
I'm sorry, Terry Bradshaw is cackling over your right shoulder right now.
I've also been distracted by the sight
we've
of
had,
Terry
since
Bradshaw.
We started the show, when we were talking about Pool Boy Gate and also Yachtcast, Kurt Warner just kind of rolled right in front of us.
Yeah.
Now Terry Bradshaw just rolled by
us. I can see
us.
Chris Long right over there.
Chris Long showing. Oh, Zolak is about 50 yards away.
Joey Franco Harris, here, Max not a
Crosby
small man.
Is walking behind us.
Zolak's wearing sunglasses inside a convention center.
He has every time we've been here the entire week. He has not taken the sunglasses off. That
it's
is
too tight.
That is the Zoe move.
And then, of course, Colleen Wolf is just 20 feet away. And that's where you really pinch yourself. Go on.
I wonder, like, where do they see the weaknesses? It's probably, you know, in the secondary, getting certain matchups with speed, whether it's McCole Hardman or Tyreek Hill on Sherman or one, you know, sometimes Jimmy Ward or Tart are a little aggressive. But especially when the 49ers try to put three linebackers on the field, I, like, think that's the moment where you attack. And as good as Greenlaw and Warner have been, who I'm fascinated by, Quan Alexander did not look like himself last game. I mean, he made Jimmy Graham look like 2008-9 Jimmy Graham. The Packers went out of their way to attack him. And eventually they kind of benched Quan Alexander, took him out of that game. If they try to play kind of that three linebacker look, which they might not do that much against the Chiefs, like, that's a moment where you can see Kelce or someone making big plays over the middle.
I feel like we've seen multiple games this year where the 49ers have dominated for the entire first half and then get caught taking their foot off the gas pedal a little bit in the second half. And they can't afford to do that against a guy who's been coming back from 24-0 and
they can't do that because of the 28-3 type jokes that we would be like surviving on Twitter at the time. If the 49ers get a big lead and start blowing it, it'd be sad.
I'd be surprised by a game where the Niners are jumping out to a 20-0 type lead against the Chiefs. This is a completely different situation than Green Bay or the Vikings, who went to the West Coast and totally fell into a coma, you know, ahead of that Niners.
Right, because it's been the Chiefs' defense that started every game slow. It really hasn't been the Chiefs' offense. They've, you know, against the Texans, they had, you know, a drive or two. Against, you know, last week they pretty much started great. They had one bad drive, and then they were caught on fire. And that's the thing with Mahomes, like, I know you're sick of the comparison, Wes, or just, like, talking, but the fact that he combines this extraterrestrial big play ability and skill set with the fact that he's the most careful quarterback out there. Like, I added up, like, how hard it is to make negative plays on him. He has 5 interceptions, I think 3 fumbles this year, and he's taken 17 sacks. Jimmy, that's a total of 25. Jimmy Garoppolo, in comparison, they've had very similar dropback numbers because Mahomes missed those 2 games, has 13 interceptions, 10 fumbles, 36 sacks. So that's 59 negative plays. He's taken more than double the amount. He's taken more negative plays in the playoffs, only throwing the ball 20 times than Mahomes does. Mahomes has this crazy, like, Tom Brady-like ability to move in the pocket where you think you're going to get him for a negative play. And at worst, it's like a throwaway or he runs for a couple yards or whatever. And then he combines that with the big plays. And that's like, it's just such a hard, how do you stop
well,
that?
He combines the ability to make plays and avoid mistakes to such an extent that running the ball is wasteful.
Right. I do wonder if, like, Andy Reid would give up, we'll just, like, give up running the ball. However the first 5 carries for the Chiefs go, well, and this was the case when the Eagles played the Patriots, feels like it'll decide whether they run the ball. Because you kind of should run the ball against the 49ers. That's where they've been vulnerable. And Damian Williams, to me, is good enough to run the ball. It feels like you want to.
We've seen Damian Williams do it. They didn't have a great ground attack this year, but there were moments that Williams' 80-yard touchdown run late in the season comes to mind. And I think when you look at what the Niners do on offense, and I would be, if I'm Steve Spagnuolo, if I'm Andy Reid, I'm trying to game plan this team, and you just don't know how Shanahan's going to come at you, because it's almost like he set them up perfectly now, because you can't assume, oh, they're going to just run it down our throats. That would be too easy to just assume we'll do that just because they did the last 2 weeks. They could go the other direction, and Shanahan is such a gifted play caller, and the way they've set up and what they've been able to do with Debo Samuel, with Emmanuel Sanders, with Kittle, the way they attack you, which is, you know, the Chiefs are a team that gets to the quarterback, but what we're seeing with Jimmy Garoppolo is how quickly they design plays to get the ball out of his hand, which negates the pass rush, and then puts pressure on a Chiefs defense to make plays in space. Do they have the ability, if the Niners are running their game plan the way they want to run it, to stop the Niners' passing game? Like, I have real questions about that. That's where I get worried about this game spinning out of control. Ooh. Is if that Niners defense is doing what they do, and then the passing game with Jimmy G heats up, which obviously can happen. The Chiefs are not an all-time great defense, not even close to it.
I'd also say if you're trying to game plan for what the Niners have done recently, the passing game is mysterious because it's been about a month since they've really had to unleash anything through the air. The two games they put together in the playoffs after their bye week were intensely ground-oriented, and it leaves you wondering what tricks Shanahan might have up his sleeve.
You just look at the personnel. Shanahan looks at those Chiefs linebackers. I mean, not many people I feel like covering, you know, like watching them know their line. It's like Damian Wilson and
Reggie Ragland.
Yeah, Reggie Ragland, like Daniel Sorensen, who's a safety who can
get over aggressive.
And like
Spiros.
And those are the players that like a Shanahan offense attacks, is like the middle of your defense. And that is the weakness of the Chiefs defense, especially with play action.
Am I changing my Super Bowl pick in real time?
No, it might be happening. Don't do it. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to believe. The Chiefs do have like three great defensive players. Like they need Chris Jones to just go wild, which is possible. Frank Clark, they were right about Frank Clark. They essentially traded D Ford for Frank Clark. I think at this point, it's worked. Frank Clark is a more complete, more dominant player. And Honey Badger, your boy, Wes, from like 6 years ago on this podcast. Like, to me, that he's sort of owning this Super Bowl on some level. Outside of the quarterbacks and the coaches, like, he's kind of owning this Super Bowl, and he deserves to. He seems like he's peaking, like, peak Honey Badger at the right time. And couldn't you imagine, like, him putting up, like, an MVP-type performance where he makes, like, great plays?
Everything you said is true, and yet I think, like, back to an interview Andy Reid did about 12 years ago where he was asked what his primary job is, and he said, as a play caller, is to get into a rhythm with a defensive play caller on the other side and exploit what he wants to do. And I don't think anybody's better at that than Kyle Shanahan. He's doing it against the defense that he knows he can run on. Hmm. I think Kyle Shanahan knows I can run on him. I'm going to keep their defense going back and forth between the run and pass. And I'm not sure Andy Reid can do that as much against the 49ers defense, but Mahomes is the X factor.
They make him, you know, defend so much. They do misdirection. Like they, you know, Reed can make you defend like every inch of the field, but it's not as varied. Like someone, I think it was Steven Ruiz, looked at the NFC Championship, and everyone thinks of the Shanahans like that's the zone blocking scheme, you know, back in the 80s. And I've said the same thing. It's like he's got the Shanahan. He ran 13 different run concepts in that game alone. So he's running power. He's running trap. He's running all the like type of running game that every team would want to run. And it's like in 2019, where all the coaches were, oh, we can't practice enough. Like, we don't have enough installation time. We don't have enough time with these players. Kyle Shanahan's running more plays and, you know, types of plays than any coach just about ever has on a running game. So he's getting it done.
It's
step kinda, up the game.
It's a credit to Kyle Shanahan, or maybe unfair to the player I'm about to mention, but Raheem Mostert's coming off one of the greatest playoff games in the history of the NFL at the running back position. He goes over 200 yards and he had four touchdowns. It was just a monster game. You would think, typically in the way the sport's covered, when a running back does that in the title game going to the Super Bowl, people are talking about this guy. Nobody's talking about Raheem Mostert.
People should, though. And he's great. And he really was
where
great.
Where are we at with Tevin Coleman, by the way? Is Tevin Coleman
we don't know.
He's trying to play through the shoulder injury.
Matt Breida is available, too, who a year ago at this time you thought was a top 10.
Breida's a great backup running back.
So I think that's the other part of this, is that they're coming off a game where Mostert had, like, an incredible all-time type game. He is somebody that I would imagine as they look at the tape. Now, there were some big holes that he was running through, but that's also a concern. I mean, the
he made people miss.
He was lights out.
4.38 40. I mean, he's a fast guy.
He was lights out in that game.
I think Damian Williams kind of on the other side, though, is an X factor that he slept on a little bit. That if the game shaped up that way, that they needed him to touch the ball 18 times, whether it's screens and runs and everything. Like, I think Damian Williams is capable of putting up 130
yards. I do too, but I think
there's
too many games where the ground attack for the Chiefs has not been
right.
What you would want. I mean, that to me is the one position positional group that feels like it could be exploited right. and is a little weak. I do think the Chiefs' offensive line, though, flip side, has been outstanding and gives the Niners' defense something to think about.
Right. Our friend, Patrick Mahomes, rather, makes the offensive line look better.
Patrick Mahomes is your friend?
Yeah, he is my friend.
I wish he was my friend.
I mean, Patrick
maybe
Mahomes,
he went to the pool
he's
party.
He's kind of a family, he's becoming a family favorite. My wife bought a Patrick Mahomes t-shirt. Like, wow. Kind of was like an outline.
Wait, she still has never listened to our podcast and she has a Patrick Mahomes shirt?
Well, the kids are so into football, and Mahomes is kind of, like, he is that guy that I think kids growing up, if you're not a huge fan of some team, are going to gravitate to. And to me, it's sort of like the question of, are they just unguardable, though? I think that's possible. Like, is the way the rules are, and as good as Mahomes is, and the five, you know, if you put five receivers out, are they almost unstoppable?
Because I know how great Patrick Mahomes has been with the pass rush in his face, but if you get him from the blind side, you're taking him down. And the 49ers have the defensive line to be able to do that.
They're tricky because it feels like if you block three of their guys well, it's like the fourth is still gonna get there. And I think we talked about on Sky Sports, but the DeForest Buckner Bosa combo is like the most unstoppable combo in sports. Like, that's where the protection always goes to that side, where it's Buckner and Bosa. And they do these games, and sometimes they do these games where then they occupy the blockers and Armstead comes around, and like those two next to each other, it's almost like you don't know what to do. But how do you stop like Mahomes and Kelce when it just feels like they know what each other is doing? They have a very similar like Gronk and Brady vibe right. to them, where like he knows what Kelsey's going to do before he does it.
I can't think of another Super Bowl where literally any outcome would not surprise me, because both teams are so powerful. But
I can't see the Niners getting blown out. I mean, not blown out.
I don't, because they haven't been all year, and that's not in their DNA. But the Chiefs exploding for a ton of points where it's not nearly as close as the score might look.
I'm with you that anything could be a surprise, but I think at some point it's gonna be nerve-wracking in the second half, because this game, you take so much energy with the 30-minute halftime break. You're so hyped up. It's like at some point the Chiefs are going to get there. Like at some point both offenses, I think, are going to get there.
All right. Let's stick a pin. Good football talk. I do want to touch base. What are we thinking, Wes, about the Shakira J-Lo halftime show? Since you bring up the 30-minute halftime.
I guess Emmylou Harris wasn't available this year. It feels like it's perfect for Miami, right?
Well, that's what they're going for, it seems.
This is a city where I've been so impressed. And by the way, I've been converted to, from London to Miami, the way to see a great city, and most great cities are on the water, the way to see a great city is by water. It's just a totally different experience.
Good call.
This city is like the looks and the languages and the megafauna. It's like, must be like what Chicagoans felt when the World Fair came to town in like 1893. It's just exotic stuff you never see.
You do have some issues with the sidewalk scenario, though. Well, you mentioned that a couple times.
Yeah, there's one issue.
People don't clean up after their dogs in the city on the sidewalk.
That's a bad job.
It's a bad job.
It's my only complaint about Miami. Like, it has its own culture to it, and there's so many cultures, and it's all mixed up together. It should just be this in New Orleans. I'd be fine.
This is really the melting pot right here.
That's kind of a hot take, and it's become to me a bit of a cliched take at this point, that only hold the Super Bowl here or there or whatever.
Well, I mean, certain cities, we need to really reward the great people of Tampa. No, let's just do it here again next week.
Whoa, there's so many people
just making
in Tampa.
Enemies
and
left
this,
and right.
This is no disrespect to these regions of the country. In fact, I'm from these regions of the country, but I don't think the Super Bowl should be held in a cold weather city. Mm-hmm. I sincerely believe that. But I think Miami, New Orleans, California, they're about to have a new stadium. LA is a great spot for a Super Bowl. Now they're going to have a state of the art. Not for us.
Yeah,
we don't get to, you know,
less exotic for our purposes.
That'll be tricky. This one is a little spread out, but there will be no center to it. I kind of like the idea of sleeping in my own bed during Super Bowl week. That's just me.
But, Wes, one last question about the halftime show. If you were installed as a shadowy league figure on the issue, and I'm being totally you have to choose it. They say, Chris Wessling, you're picking the halftime show.
So you get the backlash, though, if people don't like
it.
People know it was you that decided.
Right.
And you're picking the halftime show. And you can't say, like, I'm not doing any music then. No, you got to pick a musical act. What would it be? We could stick a pin in this, and I could come back to you at the end of the show.
Yeah, come back to me on that one.
All right.
Emmy Lou is available, I feel like.
Emmy Lou's a good one, but
she's out
the way you're...
Backlash.
This is a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, huge amount of
people knowing that you're attached to this task.
Feels like a serious exercise.
All right, Wes, think on that. Let's now let's have a little fun. Let's do a little Go Get My Lunch Super Bowl 54 edition. And if you are new to the show or have not caught our Go Get My Lunch Eps, this is when we each make a prediction for the game. And then the rest of the guys get to either say, yes, I agree, that's going to happen, or no, I disagree, let's put a sandwich on it. Sandwiches that never get paid out, but still we keep the standings at gogetmylunch.org. The great Nick Fortier does an incredible job tracking this. And I have to say, I'm coming off a woeful 2019 season, so there's no way to salvage what's happened for me this year, but winning a Super Bowl prop or collecting some sandwiches in a big spot in Miami, that would at least take away some of the stink. So there's a lot. The stakes are high.
It's now 2020, so you can set a tone for what's ahead for this year.
That's a good way to look at it as well. So let's go around the horn and throw them out. Greg, get us going.
All right. I believe that Deebo Samuel will have more receiving yards in this game than Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. Let's just throw it out there.
And or?
Both. That Deebo Samuel going up against this Chiefs. I mean, we might as well make these spicy. It's usually wrong. Going up against this Chiefs defense, where I do think you can get some run after the catch. He reminds me so much of a young Anquan Boldin. That's my favorite type of receiver, a physical receiver who's as good, I think, maybe in the open field as any person with a ball in this game, in terms of making
our league
in this game. Like, if I could take one person to have to, you know, go through a secondary, make them miss, and get to the end zone.
That's a bold statement. Tyreek Hill is like one of the greatest returners of his generation.
He is, but are you just putting him on the 40-yard line? He's got to make his way to the end zone, get past four or five people with the speed that he has. I would say Deebo Samuel, and this is partly because I love that 49ers tackling so much. Like, they are the best open field tackling team I've ever seen. It's so hard to get yards after the catch against them, whereas I think the Chiefs, that's where they're vulnerable. It's the Deebo Samuel coming out party.
I'll take you on it, but I like where you're coming from, but that speaks to me.
I don't know why I threw
that
both
must,
names. I was just going to do one, yeah. And I'm just
you
giving
must
up
think the
Samuel.
Niners will win this game if that scenario were to play out.
Well,
as
they
such.
Could be, no, they could be coming from behind, and he could have a big game, certainly. I think they're both going to have a lot of yards.
So Deebo more than Tyreek or Kelce.
That's right.
Wow.
I am going to take this one because I think this might be the worst go get my lunch thing you've ever thrown out there.
What do you mean? Like, least
Deebo
likely?
Deebo Samuel is going to have more receiving yards than both Tyreek Hill.
Oh, it's
and
unlikely.
Hill?
Yeah. But I
right,
thought
but
we're
two guys who are better than him. You want?
Well, that's
you
the idea.
It?
If I said Tyreek Hill's going to have the most receiving yards, what's the point?
All right. I'm just explaining why I'm taking it.
It's spicy.
I'll take you up on it as well.
All right.
I'll take it. All right. So
give me something to root for.
As I said, I had a horrendous regular season, so I need a W. I'm not saying this is a safe pick, but I do want to just say that the thing that I'm most looking forward to in the Super Bowl is watching Patrick Mahomes play in the Super Bowl. I mean, I just think that's so fun, and I think that is he is that type of talent. Someone asked me, I think maybe it was the great Neil Reynolds of Sky Sports, what is, in your years at the NFL, who are the players or that have, you know, most jumped out to you that you've been the most fun to watch? And my first thought, obviously, was Luke Falk and what he was able to do.
No doubt.
When Sam Darnold.
Post-surgery Chad Pennington.
Yeah, post-surgery. Well, Chad was a warrior. He had his moments post-surgery. But, yeah, Falk obviously is number one. But I would say Patrick Mahomes is the guy for me that I get – so, like, I get a lot of enjoyment out of just watching him because he's one of those all-time rare, great athletes where, you know, anything is possible when he's on the field. And we saw that on that amazing running, the 27-yard touchdown down the sideline in the AFC title game. And I just, what I want to happen, because I don't have a true rooting interest because I'm a Jets fan and we don't play in the Super Bowl, is that I want to see special moments from Mahomes. I want to, this stage to become an iconic scene for one of the great young quarterbacks we've seen. So, with that said, very straightforward, the old guy versus the field, Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl MVP.
That's a tough one.
It's very hard to imagine a scenario, not impossible, but it's hard to imagine a scenario where the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and Mahomes is not the MVP. I feel like he would be about a 95%
chance. Especially if Tyreek Hill is not going to show up to this game, according to your prediction.
I'm not
Debo
saying he's
Samuel's
not showing
gonna
up.
Get MVP win or loss.
I just need Debo Samuel to get like 150. I'll take you up on it. Why not? Just for the...
And now I get to the added thing. I get you guys are now rooting against a good guy and a great talent and a fun
now
team.
Now that these
the
sandwiches, like, who knows who did well? That yeah, we all. I think we all were pretty solid, but Dan had a bad year.
Well, I believe that your ugly run of 2019 opened with you predicting an MVP award for Drew Brees.
Ooh. Which wasn't a bad prediction.
No, it certainly wasn't. I believe you called that an onion hanger. It seemed like more of a pick'em, but that was fine.
I do know
this would be a nice reversal.
How would that
for
be
you?
A pick'em? A guy that's never won MVP in 18 years.
Plus
just
the pressure
that I put
I'm
on a
so
short
far
list
ahead
of like
now in the overall
MVP.
Standings with Dan's 3-18 year or whatever it was. Wow. It's like I can just throw some away.
Yeah, no,
that explains it.
Yeah, I think I'm still near the top of the overall standings, but this has certainly brought me down to the pack. So, what about you guys?
I got a Mahomes comp for you, which you may be interested
okay.
in. When Al Davis was scouting for the Los Angeles Chargers, or they may have been San Diego by then, he was sent to Alabama to watch Joe Namath before he injured his knee.
Right, ripped it up.
And his scouting report was, I saw a guy who tips the field. This SOB plays like he's going downhill and he's redefined distance on the field. And to me, that's exactly who Patrick Mahomes is. More than anybody is pre-knee injury Namath, where he can stretch the field with his arm and outrun everyone trying to sack him.
When Namath got drafted to the Jets, the doctors cleared him to play, but told the Jets and told Namath, you have about 5 years on that knee. What they say about Namath's ability, his athletic ability, before he ripped up his knee at Alabama, they say it's just like it was
he's
off the charts.
He's throwing 360 dunks.
Yeah. And you get on me for recency bias, Wes, but you also like to say you know it when you see it. And
right.
Mahomes... More than any player that I've covered since I've been, you know, covering football is you know it when you see it. You know that he is an all-time great right off the bat kind of when you see it. It's just a matter of, like, what shape that takes.
And his so-called, like, lesser games would be the
right.
top for other people.
Right.
He doesn't have those three or four games where he stunk up the joint. Ever.
You guys taking the sandwich?
I will take you just for the
sake of
it. I'll
take it just for sporting interest. But if this happens... This will go down as if he wins the MVP, it's going to be the gold standard for postseason playoff runs by a quarterback.
That's an interesting thought. The all-time great QB runs. You haven't heard
well,
that as much.
Think about Joe
to
Montana, 1989. I mean, utterly pristine.
Joe Flacco more recently was incredible.
Right, but what Mahomes is doing,
but
some of that
young,
24
numbers.
That's a little under the radar how good he's
are
been.
Outrageous.
No, they are, but there have been other pristine... Joe Flacco had a pretty amazing
right,
run.
Right, but Joe Flacco wasn't throwing like 9 touchdowns
no, he's
in 2 games.
He's a completely different human being.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Wes, it's time for your prop. And I just want to say before you do it, reminded everyone that the Around the NFL podcast is presented by DiGiorno. Stock up on DiGiorno pizza for the big game. All
His
right,
sponsor
Wes.
Did not know this kind of attention was going to come.
Are we good with this?
George Kittle... And Travis Kelce both break Rob Gronkowski's record for most yards in the Super Bowl, 116 yards.
I mean, I like that you're getting on me for that Debo is the worst
yeah,
one.
I know you would lash out.
Whatever.
This isn't a surprise.
Of course I would take you on that.
Tight
ends. I'm just saying, it's great, but it's
they
still
both break
a long
it.
Shot.
They both break
it's still a long shot.
I think that's a good prop.
I think it's a great
prop.
Thank you, Dan. Thank
I think it's a great prop, but he's getting on mine for being a long shot.
Lash
this is a big-time long shot.
Wait, what are you getting him on
Greg
for?
Doesn't hold grudges. When you strike out at him, you're never going
it's
to get an arrow
I
shot back in your face.
I always have these thoughts in my head, and then once you guys give me permission by coming at me, I can finally say it, not have to be so sensitive.
Once Greg yeah. is, you know, untied, he can be the true savage he is. Now, what Greg will do is he'll store what I just did, and then in about 4 minutes, there'll be some type of arrow slung at me.
I had something ready right for you, which is going to be how we were waiting for the van for you to show up today, 15 minutes late.
No, wait, let's talk about that, because
it ran a foul.
I had a radio appearance, The Good Show, with Ben Innes and J.D. Bunkus. Love those guys. And they started a little later than I was told, 9:25. They didn't start till 9:30. And then I gave you guys the heads up. I said we're starting a little. They're starting a little later. Just letting you know. Greg writes back. Okay, we'll meet you there. I said okay. The phone rings. I do my interview, and then it ends. I'm not rushing downstairs because now I think you guys have left. I was under the impression you were gone.
We knew
Greg's
exactly what was
incredible
happening.
Bit was that well, he was only joking
well,
when he said,
but
I'll
I also
there.
Texted immediately afterwards.
But I did not see that.
Just happened to ring when
well, yes,
you,
but that's not on me. You also didn't see the text
well, it's
yesterday.
Well, not on me
it
either.
Said we were leaving at 9:30. I mean, you're the one that took the radio interview when we all knew when we were leaving.
I honestly the text you sent, which was an incredible bit again. I saw only that, so I was working on that. So then I even went downstairs, and Greg's bit was so funny that I never thought of it, that I got an Uber. Then I see you guys about 3 minutes later to my left. I have to cancel the Uber, and guess who's getting nailed with the $5 Uber fee? The old Zeuser.
So
Roger Greg's
Goodell,
joke, so legendary, yeah. It cost me $5.
If we were setting the odds, which one of the four of us that we would have been waiting for, what would have those like pregame odds been? How heavy a favorite would Dan have been? You'd have been a heavy favorite.
Yes, that's
Dan
fair.
Would be a favorite.
But in this case, I had cleared it and let you guys know. In fact, had no issue with you leaving at early.
I had no
I thought
issue
it was a little
anyway.
Odd. I was like, why are they rushing to get, is Greg like making a point? But I was like, you know what? I have other things to worry about. And and I'm glad that it all worked out and we got here and here we are now.
The only lock is that Mark will be the first one to show up.
And the first to leave. Those are the two things we always know.
Oh, get me out of here as soon as possible, please.
All right. Now, Wes, your prop.
I'm taking you up on
Kittle it. And Kelce yes. both break Gronk's record, 116 yards by a tight end in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll take you. I think we should all take all of our props.
I will take you. Very, take very intriguing. I like it.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right, Mark.
It was crafted.
So, I know you think I'm going to come with some long-winded reading-type script about something insane that's going to happen.
Highlighter all over the paper.
None of that. It's very crystal clear to me. This has been a very strange week. We've been raided by, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We've saw Jamal Adams at a pool party yesterday outside of our hotel.
It was a rather
circus-like environment. So I think the weirdness is going to continue. In this sense,
of course
and
you
we've seen. I'm going to tell you something that's not that crazy. We've seen this happen during our time with the NFL at a Super Bowl. Okay, and I'm not going to predict overtime like I did when I nailed it. A couple years ago, totally nailed that one as my Super Bowl lock. But
that was very Trumpian, and I nailed that.
Well, I got to set the ground rules here. But I see this game is going to have a stoppage in play, non-injury related, that will be at least 15 minutes long. And the last time this happened...
I like that your preface to this was, hey, guys, it's not going to be crazy and off-the-wall Mark stuff that you're expecting, and now the game is being
this has
stopped.
Happened. This has happened to us. In fact, I had to write the news article when the lights went out in the Superdome in New Orleans during the Ravens-Niners
So if
affair.
The game is stopped for a non-injury-related reason, but it only lasts 11 minutes, you lose this prop.
No, this is going to be one of the Mark Sessler horseshoes and hand grenades thing, where if it's close, he gets the prop also. Oh, but it stopped for 9 minutes, so let's give it to Mark.
15 minutes.
To say 12 minutes, you'd say 12 minutes.
Sure, I said 15 minutes.
A minimum of 15.
If it stopped for 14 minutes and 45 seconds, I would lose the prop, but I would be outraged. But it must be 15 minutes.
I want to add, because we need to be exact with this, when the stoppage occurs, it is incumbent on you to get out your iPhone and hit the timer.
And tell us. Make it approved.
That's fair. Yeah. If you
and
would
any
like
delay
me to
on
play...
your part doesn't count towards the 15 minutes. So you have, that's part of the... To make sure this is...
Any delay on my part.
How,
I have no ability to stop the game.
You have to be on top of
this. If something starts being delayed, you have to start your timer.
Bang, right. Start the timer.
Every time it's delayed, you got to...
And that's the official time of record.
That is a totally appropriate request on your part. I'm happy to
do
that.
Dan is playing this game well. Our three props are like 1 in 20 long shots. Dan's about 50-50.
Is it? I wonder what the desert thinks.
I bet it would be like 40-60 because, they're a slight favorite. But if they win, he's very, very likely the MVP.
Given how my props have gone for the 2019 season, I've effectively doomed Patrick Mahomes, which I don't want to have happen, but that's probably going to happen. All right, I will obviously take you up on that. That's an onion hanger, as they always are, and we appreciate that, Mark.
Well, I believe these things are going to happen. I'm not just throwing this out there as a rando, chuckle fest.
Rando chuckle.
Do you believe this as much as you believe you want Jameis Winston to win a Super Bowl more than any other player?
That's in a different category of...
And the Ravens quarterback. God, right. That's one thing you've always wanted.
Well, you know, listen, that is an article that's in print, so it must be true. I wrote it.
We're gonna talk about this article for years, I feel like.
It's one of those things. I've already screen-grabbed
the headline. Screen-grabbed it. Why I want Jameis, Lamar to win the Super Bowl.
You did not allow me to explain what the article... I'm sure that you read it.
You must be on the edge of your seat, you know, tracking this Jameis free agency
story. It was tracking players or coaches I'd like to see win... who have not been there yet or have not won one at least. Last year I picked Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan. My wish is going to come true.
Wow.
On one level, so.
That sounds like something that you made up and then no one's going to check. So
that was
just the
most fake wow from Greg ever.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was a real one. And I'm looking back and seeing a little Sebastian Vollmer back there. So
Seabass. Large man.
Big time stars.
Are all Sebastians now Seabass? Is that how it works?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Mark, now let's get ready. It's time.
Let's take you on as well.
Thank you.
So we're all in on that. Let's now begin our interview with the great Chris Mad Dog Russo.
Mm-mm.
We've been very excited to have this man on the show. He's the great Chris Russo, SiriusXM.
Gentlemen, I've never been interviewed by four people on one spot. So here we go.
We specialize in that.
Yeah.
Mad Dog, this is such a thrill, especially for Mark and I. Mark grew
New Yorkers.
Up in Connecticut. I'm from Rockland County in New York. And the version, at least this version of the podcast, doesn't exist without you and Mike and WFAN.
I appreciate it.
And when we were told we had the opportunity to have you on the show, in a second, Mark and I were like, yes. Get
the
Mad Dog
on. Good job. I'm telling you, I'm getting old, is what it tells you.
In Mark's words, like, he would never be nervous or have any sort of, like, excitement over any players or coaches. He doesn't even like football that much.
So he put Lombardi in here, he wouldn't even be nervous.
Not at all.
Wow, how about that?
This is a whole different level, so.
Well, it's good to be here, and obviously you can't beat the football game. I'm looking forward to Niners and Chiefs should be a good game Sunday.
I mean, you are an encyclopedia of sports knowledge. You're famous for that, Chris. But you also are kind of, make this official, because I know it's floated out there. I'm sure people ask you about it, but I want it official on the Around the NFL podcast. Did you create Radio Row as it's modernly seen?
Well, I don't want you to listen. I mean, I hate to say it that way because it makes it sound like I'm patting myself on the back. Here's the way I would say it.
We do
In 1990, that was the San Francisco-Denver Super Bowl. The 89 year, the 90 Super Bowl. That was the first year Mike and the Mad Dog, first 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Super Bowl that year, and that was in New Orleans, and we did the show from the Hyatt. Eddie Andelman was there, probably from EEI in Boston, and probably Eskin, Philadelphia.
Right.
He was there, and Mike and I... and the local guy from New Orleans, there's only four. Now, before you go out there and sit there and say, wow, look at that, and you're still doing it, and they aren't necessarily. The year before, Pete Franklin did it in San Diego, right here in Miami, and that was the Cincinnati-San Francisco Super Bowl. FAN did do Super Bowl coverage the year before Mike and I began. I would say this, the first Super Bowl that I remember where you sensed a burgeoning of electronic media covering it was the Dallas Buffalo Super Bowl in the Rose Bowl. Mm. And that was in 92-93, the 52-17 game.
Right.
Mm. 51-17. That Super Bowl was the first Super Bowl they put Mike and I in a conference room at a hotel. And there was probably about 10 to 12 stations. That is the first one that I remember. Wow, look at this. There's more stations than just us coming to the game.
Mm.
Obviously, since it's become, look at it now. But that is the first one where I sensed this is becoming a bigger deal. And I think the thing that Mike and I did is that we were the two-man team. Before us, it was only the one-man sports talk show. Mm. It was not the two. Mike and I were the first duo doing it day to day. And I think that they can do it in New York, put two guys on in the afternoon, sell advertising. Why can't we do it in Philly, in Boston, in Kansas City? And then all of a sudden, the genre took off. So
that's why we do four.
That's why you
double the revenue.
It's doubled it. Yeah, that's right.
It's like
it's
razors. We've got four blades.
I don't want to give us too much credit, but 1990 is a long time ago. And then, of course, the next year was huge for the New Yorker because that was the Giants-Buffalo Super Bowl, which was the great game in Tampa at the old Sombrero. And
Whitney
that was
Houston.
During the Persian Gulf War.
Right.
And that was the first Super Bowl with no turnovers. And the Giants won 2019. Norwood missed a field goal.
The famous, I think they had over 40 minutes time of possession, the Giants.
40 minutes time of possession. Yeah. Buffalo had 19. Buffalo had the ball late. They ran the ball in their last play. They got like an 8-yard run. And then Norwood missed a 48-yard field goal. That was a big one for the New Yorker.
Yeah.
Because that was Parcells last and everything else, LT. Yeah. But, again, the first one that I noticed, everybody in the mix, radio station, where it began to get a big deal, was that Buffalo-Dallas one.
I got to ask you because, you know, just sitting next to you and hearing your voice, and I'm not trying to be a total fanboy, but my dad and I have great memories of just driving around, listening to Mike and the Mad Dog, listening to you, but especially I remember Saturday mornings, if I'm not mistaken, you'd occasionally, they'd allow you to go on alone and sort of wax
34.
Poetic.
That I did about 40 a year. Yep.
That was just like, that for me, even you know, in high school, I would just drive around town listening to you. Do you have people that come up to you and just say, oh my gosh, it's your voice that they
oh, absolutely. I mean. that Saturday morning thing, it was, you know, Mike did the Sunday NFL, and I did the Saturday morning. So FAN had each of us work 6 days a week. So they had, they separated the one day and the weekends. But I did that Saturday morning from basically 1988 until I left in 2008. I did Saturday mornings for 19 years. I did not do it in the summertime. I would drive into work. I would, you know, be a little goofier. I'd scream and yell. And, you know, there wasn't always a lot going on Friday night because there's not a lot of sports on Friday nights.
Right.
So, I mean, at times it was a little quiet, but I also had in October Yankee games. How many Yankees could lose in postseason on Friday nights? I'd be the first guy talking about it on Saturday morning.
It.
So that became the anti-Yankee thing that I'd scream. I did a big deal about Elimination Day because they had got knocked out by the Angels 1 year on a Friday night. I mean, I did all sorts of wacky things, and people got a kick out of that. And Saturday morning, fathers taking their kids to games, errands, and, you know, they got to say what Russo has to say for 20 minutes.
Exactly.
And that began a
little
college industry.
I always thought you had a little extra bounce in your step for those solo shows.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, it was something different, you know, something different. And I, you know, I used to drive in. I drove. I used to leave Connecticut at, you know, 8:45, get a bagel, a cup of coffee, here I go, I'm ready to go, and get home by 2:20 in the afternoon. So I love those shows. Did it for a long time.
Now, we understand the bounce in your step when you can do things without the rest of your co-hosts. It just makes you, like, a little more excited.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, you guys got to share. It's not easy to share, four of you doing this.
Yeah.
And you got to, you know, with Mike, I had to learn how to, remember, before I got with Mike, I did radio by myself, so I had to learn how to adapt with Mike for 19 years. So there you go. And there's advantages with having a lot of guys on, because you can talk amongst each other.
I find that
when
I can
you're on yourself, it's just you and the course.
Just take a show off occasionally, allow the three of them to run rampant.
Let them take control for it. But let them have to be the engine that runs the show for a change.
No, throughout your career, you've been genuine, and you haven't played to the guy talk angle as much as
no,
you
No, I
just,
know, I don't do that.
You really just like sports. Has there ever been a tug and pull with this character you might play, Mad Dog? Like, sometimes you would play it up a little bit more
absolutely.
Than other times. And
I give you a perfect example is the trivia. You know, we do a trivia contest every
love
year.
Super Bowl trivia.
And I just did it this past week. We give 4 trips away to the Super Bowl, hotel, tickets, the whole 9 yards. And I dress up as this Marquis de Sade, which is what Mike gave me the nickname 25 years ago. And they have to answer 4 questions, each one increasing difficulty. And it takes them forever to get the damn thing, you know, to get these questions right. And last week we did it, and we didn't have 3 winners until Friday. I had to actually give clues away for the audio, because we do an audio component with question 4, so they can't look up the answer. And it took them forever. So that is when I get a little out of character. There's a perfect example. And I enjoyed doing that, and I tell you, Michael Binko. Binko does the Hollywood Squares show, you know, the Saturday night NBC, and he's the former executive producer if everybody wants to be a millionaire. He lives in L.A., not a big sports fan, loves the freaking trivia. Texts us all the time. This is the best thing I've ever heard on radio. So there's a different component to what you do on a week to basis, and there's a perfect example where you got to change your role a little bit.
I remember, like, shoveling my driveway and during Super Bowl week and just listening to the trivia, and
you know, the people that got, you know, to the third question, the fourth question. After the first one, I feel like Mike always is like, and we're off. And
yeah, exactly.
Like, going once, going once, goodbye. And just like,
but you only get five. I mean, yeah. These are tough questions. I mean, we had some this past year.
And then the
I mean,
internet came, too. And
you so that's why you got to get the audio. Yeah. The internet. I mean, here's one we did this year that threw people off, especially the first part of the week. How many interceptions did Earl Morrow throw as a 49er? Mm. Now you're not to point out. Now you're not going to get
a lot
that
of components
unless
involved.
You look at it. Unless
Wes is our historian.
The answer's
so.
Six. And you're not going to look. You're not going to get that
yeah, I
until
guessed
later in the
low.
Week when you know the question. So this year we had a Niner component, we had a Chief component, we had a City of Miami component, and so you had three different categories. And our and the angle that we used for the audio was Super Bowls that the season began in one decade and the Super Bowl was in the next decade. So 69-70, 79-80. And those are the sound bites we use from teams who are on those Super Bowls. So it was fun.
Broncos,
let's talk about
Niners.
This game. What are your kind of overarching thoughts about it? I think everyone sees it. The desert sees it as a coin flip game.
Yep.
Do you see it the same way?
Absolutely do. I think 45-man roster, the Niners are better. Normally, you would pick a team that has the better defense and runs the ball, and San Francisco does both better than the Chiefs do. So you would go from that standpoint as well. Niners, I think, from day one, have been the best team in football. They were 8-0, whatever they were. They've had a very hard schedule, which they did. You know, they won a game in New Orleans. They won that last game in Seattle. So the Niners have had a harder road, I think, to this game than the Chiefs had. So you can make a case easily for San Francisco. Better defense, great defensive line. The things that you have for Kansas City, they have the best player. Mahomes is the best player on the field. I think if you like karma, which I like to look at karma, Chiefs got plenty of it. Last game of the year, Miami, 2 minutes to go, wins at New England. Chiefs get the bye. Next week, Ravens, who have the top seed, lose at home to Tennessee. The next day, Kansas City's down 24-0. Come from behind, win the game. Andy Reid is due to win a Super Bowl. They trail Tennessee, they come back. 50 years ago, they won their first. I got Clark Hunt on today. I'm going to make a big deal about that to him. 50 years ago, they won their first, 69-70. Haven't won a Super Bowl since. So there's karma that says Chiefs. So I think it's a dead even game. I think first to 31 will win. I'll probably lean Mahomes. And I tell you, here's a stat that's interesting. Do you know that his quarterback rating, when he's rushed within 2.5 seconds, is 120?
That's
which
outrageous.
Would negate the Niner crazy. Pass rush.
Gotta so get him from
rushed,
behind.
Because he can move around, he makes plays. So that would concern me if I'm a Niner fan.
And you're a historian. How about the karma of the Kansas City Chiefs fan in the city, one of the great football towns, I think, kind of gets overlooked. We talked a lot, because this is a Jets fan and a Browns fan here, about the most pained fan bases,
Kansas
but the Chiefs
Kansas
get ignored a lot. There's a lot of 40-year-old Chiefs fans that don't want to hear, oh, wow, we won a Super
and
Bowl.
That's a very good
ago.
Point, and Hunt always tells me the worst loss in the history of the Chiefs was the double overtime game to Miami on Christmas Day, 27-24. That was the year the Dolphins lost to Dallas couple weeks later. But the Chiefs, who had played in Super Bowl I, won Super Bowl IV, and then 2 years later had Miami, had that game won. Stenerud missed kicks. I mean, they blew the game. And Hunt has told me from day one, that's the worst loss in the history of the Chiefs. And they lost in double overtime. That's the famous Eddie Podolak game, where he had about 250 yards of offense. He was
can't
unbelievable.
Forget about Eddie
Podolak. Off. Yes. He did everything. And then the next week, Miami played Dallas and got killed by the Cowboys 24-3. And that was the last game that Miami lost in a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
It was a Dallas game. Because they won the Super Bowl the next year undefeated. And the year after that, they were 11-0 before the Raiders beat them. So, I mean, there's a lot of good history there.
This is why
and the Chiefs are interesting.
This is why Mad Dog is a legend. The man
well,
just knows
stuff.
It all.
I love that stuff.
Chris, again, this was such an honor to be able to talk to you. And we're going to geek out. We're going to hit you up for a photo and everything afterwards.
Well, let me give you one other thing that you'll find interesting. I did a lot of Kobe Bryant this week.
Yeah.
On the radio. Got here Sunday. He's on the air Monday. I get a call. I got a list of calls, first hour. You know, Joe and this. You get a list of calls. I'm going to get my producer. One producer's in New York, one's here. Earl from Austin. 25 minutes. I leave him on hold. I don't know who it is. Calls up. Turns out, Earl Campbell.
Wow.
Oh, hello.
Tyler Rose.
What did he want to talk about?
He wanted to say that he was with Rudy Tomjanovich, Akeem Olajuwon, and Nolan Ryan at a Houston event when they got the news about Kobe.
Right.
And he called, waited 25 minutes on hold just to give his take on Kobe. I picked up on who it was within about a minute, and he called me doggy throughout the whole thing. So you knew he was a listener. And we put it on a website
that
125,000 hits.
That's special, yeah.
Because it's genuine.
Yep.
Right. Earl Campbell wanted to call about Kobe and did not use his name. Hey, I'm Earl Campbell, get me on. No. Wanted to be a caller. Earl from Austin. Is that amazing?
That's amazing.
And this is the guy who was the top 10 running back just last, you know, when he was named with that NFL show. Yep. I wanted to tell you that.
That happened on Monday. And you say the word genuine.
Genuine guy.
You've always been genuine on the air, and we strive to do the same thing. Well, so thank you for joining
us. Keep up the good work. You let these two dominate.
Well, we're the fanboys. Chris Russo, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was fun, Mark. I like also how Mad Dog was very physical with you. A lot of pats on the back, a couple of knee shots. That's a good job by you.
You were very close to his airspace.
You know, even during many of our owners' meetings, I played the role, and I don't know why you guys would want me to be in this position where I'm like a foot away from said coach, or in this case, Mad Dog, and I was just sort of staring into his eyes for like the entire interview. But hearing the voice from our childhood was just too bizarre for me to overcome. I was kind of frozen. It was a little bit of a Little Debbie moment.
There was definitely a fanboy thing. I also, and this happens all the time when you talk to a celebrity or see a celebrity, I end up like just locking in on their teeth, and it's just like, wow, those are expensive teeth. It's just, he has famous person teeth.
He had great pants.
He does.
Yeah, so, that was quite an honor.
Greg, were you impressed?
I love Chris Russo. I have my own history. I used to keep Mike and the Mad Dog on, especially that 2003-2004 Red Sox-Yankees season while I'm pumping out my Roto-World blurbs. One of my favorite viewing experiences of all time is the day after Game 7 of Red Sox-Yankees waiting for Mike and the Mad Dog. And I watched it on Yes Network. It wasn't even on the radio. I just would have it on while I was doing my Roto-World blurbs. And the glee that he had pounding Francesa and pounding Yankees the day after that was awesome. And I listened to them all the time driving up to Roto-World, which is about an hour away. So I had an experience.
And listeners might be interested to know, certainly elements of shows that grew up listening to will make it into this show. So when we play the miss of music, when an owner or somebody makes a statement, that's lifted directly from Mike and the Mad Dog, George Steinbrenner. In fact, the very show you're talking about, after like crushing Yankees losses, Steinbrenner, the former owner of the Yankees, would release a statement, and then they'd play the General Patton music. So that is an homage to Mike and the Mad Dog.
I didn't realize that.
The one thing I was impressed by, it's not that, I don't think it's that impressive to be able to have instant recall of every stat and every happening in sports, but the ability to not only recall, but put it in perspective and tell a story and make it relevant to other people. And that's what this guy's been doing for, 100,000 hours of whatever he's done in his life?
He can spin those yarns. I'm impressed with anyone that's been covering sports for as long as he has, where I don't get an aura of cynicism from him. He seems to truly love sports. I know I struggle with that sometimes too, just like not appreciating
that
how lucky we are.
Through. I think so.
He's got great passion and drive.
Our sports writers are among the most cynical people you'll ever meet.
All right, that was a real treat for us. Okay, before we go, before we spin forward, and yes, and the next time you hear from us, we're doing our live show tonight from Miami Improv. It will have already happened probably by the time you hear this, but we're looking forward to that. But the next time you'll hear the podcast is Sunday night from Hard Rock Stadium. Immediately after the game, we will recap this amazing matchup between the Chiefs and Niners. But before we sign off, let us pick the game. It is time. Mark, get us going.
I've had a strong faith and belief in the Niners through this whole playoff process, and my wife is a Niners fan. I'm not picking them for that reason alone.
But back I down, just, Greg. You know, we don't need any Simone talk right now.
You know, Simone made it very clear on Twitter she was not offended by my comments at all. I read it as she appreciated them.
I think maybe even delighted.
I think she was showing a sign of grace, and she was like, I want this controversy to die
down. She will be here tomorrow, so you can
last chance for Hat's
hand, Greg. And she likes love, you know? She married a man of passion. She knows that.
That is true. That is true. I'm going to pick her Niners. 38 to 27.
38-27. So they light up the Chiefs defense.
Wow. 11-point spread.
All right. Wes.
I also am picking the 49ers. I've got 38-33.
Love it. I have gone back and forth even during this past hour of conversation, but I am going to stay with it. Obviously, I have Patrick Mahomes as my pick for MVP, and I will pick the Chiefs for that reason, for the greatness of Mahomes rising up in this spot of all spots, the Super Bowl. So let's go 35-31 in an all-timer. Chiefs. Mm.
I spent the week and a half expecting to pick the Chiefs because that is what I want to happen. I'm rooting for Patrick Mahomes. I love watching him play. I love that story. I love Andy Reid. I want them to win. But I had to look in the mirror. Like, by the time I got to yesterday afternoon, I didn't really believe it. Yeah, like, I do just, if you play this game out, you know, 100 times, I just see so many more routes for the 49ers to win. And in a tight spot at the end of the game, I trust Kyle Shanahan a little more. I just, 1-53, their roster, the 49ers, is so good that even though I am going to be hoping that you get a hero pick and even get your sandwiches ultimately, because I really do have an affection and I like this Chiefs team, I do think the 49ers are better. So it wouldn't have been honest to pick the Chiefs. Not that any of us have any idea what the hell is going to happen. I am taking the 49ers to win this game 33-30.
The rare Super Bowl hero pick.
That was so earnest.
I know. Well, I struggled with it because I usually just pick what you want to happen, and I do really like them, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
It's like you really let Patrick Mahomes down here.
I kind of feel like it.
No,
it's
I got
okay.
you
I'm
back.
Still,
I
I'm
got
still
him.
Rooting for him. I'm still rooting for him.
It would have been weird if we went across the board because this does feel like a game that's going to be close and back and forth. And hopefully it plays out that way. The Patriots ruined the Super Bowl last year with a boring game. So hopefully we can bring it back to the Rams played
we've
a role.
Had a,
there,
we've too. Had a Super Bowl hero pick. I remember it. Ravens 49ers. And I got the score right.
I believe I had Broncos over Panthers as a hero pick
that?
Too.
Our
okay,
first
so
one.
It happens all the time.
No.
And this year it is my turn to win a hero pick. All right. Good stuff. There's Connie Fox. Hey, Connie.
Hi.
There
hey.
She is.
Can I come up here?
Yeah,
Connie. Connie never met a microphone. She didn't want to be on here.
Yeah,
she
so
is.
You have to get really close to us.
Miami.
Miami. Great to see you, Colleen.
Hey, great to see you guys, too. You know, all right.
Good luck to you
good
the
stuff.
Rest of the way.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll hang out.
Maybe. We should do that.
That'll be the last time we see Colleen for the week.
And love you guys, the listeners. Make sure you check us out for the great flagship finale of the 2019 season, Sunday night from Hard Rock Stadium. This is Dan Hanzus. Oh, one last thing. What am I thinking? Wes, what's the halftime show? Your choice.
Oh.
What's her name? Snow Allegra? Is that her name? That's who I'm picking.
is Dan. Who is Snow Allegra?
What is he talking about? Did Erica give him that name or something?
No.
What is that name? Snow Allegra?
She's a soul singer.
Snow Allegra is your
maybe I'm
Super
pronouncing
Bowl
her name
55
wrong.
Halftime act.
I'm not familiar with this artist, but I'm
you will
sure
have
she's
zero brushback with that pick.
What about
you played it safe?
What about the former rapper from Canada, Snow?
No, not that guy.
Informer. That would be better than this Snow Allegra.
I believe the album title of the Informer album was 12 Inches of Snow.
It was great.
Just end on that note.
Yeah. All right. It should have just said Aerosmith or something. You know.
I don't want to see Aerosmith. No, that'd be the last group I want to see.
Or Aerosmith. All right, this is Dan Hanzus signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and Rick Hollywood on the floor in a chair. Till Super Bowl Sunday!